Okay, so get this. Staten Island couple suing New York City after the discovery that their dead son's brain was on display in a jar at the city morgue. How'd that happen? How'd they know? Well, here's the deal. I mean, talk about worst-case situation. Jesse Shipley, 17 when he died in a car crash back in 05. Andre and Carisha Shipley said they had no idea that his brain was removed during the autopsy until some of his classmates visited a morgue on the field trip that they had. While on the tour, the kiddos, who were members of a forensic science club, came across the jar with the brain floating inside and their dead friend's name on the label.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh. After that incident, the city returned the brain to the family, who disinterred their son, put the brain back in place, reburied him, and now, as you can imagine, they're suing New York City.
So. They gave them back the brain.
They did.
And then the family dug up the body to return the brain to their dead son's body as if he would need it?
Need it. Don't know. Not sure.
Well, okay. Maybe they didn't put it right in place. Maybe they just, you know.
Well, they toss it in the wood.
I mean, maybe they just put it in his pocket or something.
Stop.
You know?
What? Stop.
Well, we're talking about cadaver here.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's a very unfortunate situation.
Well, I don't know what
no doubt about
do.
It. You know?
Well, but, okay, fine. All right, and you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's horrible that it happened. And,
yeah.
And yes, in times like this, I got no problem with litigation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I would like to think that if, you know, all right, I'll put it on me. If I die,
yeah,
and y'all find out that they took my brain.
Okay, hang on. Mm-hmm. Wait, we're recording now.
All right.
Okay, if you die. Okay.
If I, Chase Murphy, having never been of sound mind,
yeah,
should happen to shuffle off this mortal coil,
uh-huh,
and they take my brain.
Uh-huh, and put it in a jar.
And put it in a mayonnaise jar on Funkin' Wagnall's porch.
Right,
yeah.
And Tom comes along and finds it later.
Yeah.
And it's got a tag on the mayonnaise jar with my name on it. And says,
misspelled.
Yes, yeah. This is Chance Murray's brain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want it known for all. Yeah. They can keep it, man. I don't need it.
Yeah, I hear you.
God.
Yeah. And again, I think had they just made the offer, and maybe that's all they did is they made the offer and the family said, hell yeah, we want it back. And then they went ahead and did that.
Yeah, that's right.
God, what a gruesome exchange that must have been.
Yeah,
we're real sorry about this. Here it is.
Yeah, that's no longer the brain. That's now evidence.
Hello?
It might be a case of, like, a religious significance or something.
That's the only thing I could figure. That is the only thing I could figure.
Okay, and it might be a... Okay, so moving on.
Yeah, so we're going to close the casket.
That's right, okay. Might be a fascinating new metric for how the economy is doing, and that is midnight shopping. Walmart has changed its stocking pattern. I'm not talking stockings like you wear. I'm talking about stuff you put on the shelf.
Okay? I wouldn't even go in there.
All right.
Thanks for clarifying.
Okay. Walmart has changed its stocking.
We know where Scott's brain was.
Yeah, really.
His stocking pattern. After noticing
that... You know him in socks. I mean, don't even...
That's right. So there. Yeah. States that sales spike at the first of every month when food stamps kick in for the millions of poor families around the country. Midnight shopping has become commonplace as students stock up on necessities from baby formula to mac and cheese to cereal.
Since when is baby formula a student necessary?
Well, just...
I'm being naive
now. I understand.
Now,
really. So, and apparently, the exact minute government checks are renewed, much of which has to do with, from the month before. So... this is the strangest thing. A Walmart executive says the pattern points to a portrait of the U.S. current economy. Here's the strange part. The story was on NPR. Can you tell me in what universe Walmart and NPR have anything in common?
Not much.
No. Anyway, telling NPR, going, "Hun, I was interviewed by somebody on NPR. Let's go find that on the satellite."
Hmm.
We're not going to watch Darlington. We're going to go ahead and watch NPR. Yeah, anyway. Sorry.
You always get interesting looks from the employees when you go shopping at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, sure you do. Now, and we were discussing this at the house just the other day, because there was a time in my life when I would, and again, 30 years ago, but I was on television. I got off at 10:30 at night. Well, you know, you get off work. You're not ready to, I mean, you got to wind down, right?
Sure, sure.
So, you know, heading on over the old Grocery-torium. And strangely enough, one of the other people I would often see there was an anchor for another TV station because, you know, they were in the exact same situation.
Oh.
You're up, you're there, there's nobody around.
Did you ever eyeball what was in their car and figure out what they were trying to figure out what they were
Now, excuse me, when do you not do that when you see somebody?
Yeah.
When do you not do that?
You just fell right into my trap, that's all.
You know, if I were there at the Ghostatorium and you saw an anchor for another TV station, you know what I'd say to him right before, you know, you got in your cars? You yell over to him, "Hey, how about that big fire tonight?" And then just get in your car and drive away.
Wow.
You know?
Listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
you know.
That's great.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Yeah. You know, this guy's going back to his station. Saying, what? Fire?
Well, as a sports guy, I didn't care that much.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Boy, how about the mayor? See you later.
You see him in the rearview mirror. Wait!
What is it? Is there more? Anyway. All right. Bank of America. That's the nation's largest bank.
I was back in TV now.
good idea. Give that to somebody. Right? Bank of America, the nation's largest bank, delaying foreclosures in 23 states after an employee acknowledged that she signed up to 8,000 foreclosure documents per month and typically didn't read them.
Oops.
Okay, how's that make her different than a member of Congress? But nonetheless, state attorneys general have started to pressure the lenders to answer to those foreclosure processes where they were doing that. Likely these revelations will motivate thousands of homeowners to contest their foreclosures, although most homeowners who are facing it just, you know, they've lost their homes. And a lot of people know, under any circumstance, that's only putting off the inevitable for those people. But still, and how did the revelation come about? How did we find out about this? What was in some foreclosure document that this person did in fact sign off on, having not read it, that caused this whole thing to happen? But again, that's Bank of America. So watch for that. That may be on the old news wire today. And
I'd already heard that on Fox News.
On Fox News, which we, by the way, have now.
I've been hearing that.
We are in the fold, folks. Mm-hmm. We're right there now. We've got it for you. And
just in case some of our more observant listeners have paid attention, yes, we have changed our news music at the top of the hour.
Yeah, because now it sounds like this. There you go.
And the reason why we did that is because the previous news music was ABC proprietary.
Yeah.
And since we are no longer an affiliate.
Yeah. We're not proprietating with them anymore.
We can't be propriating with
them. That's it. So we got this new one right here. Got it. It's 8:45.